leadership. This is going to be part six of this message. Those of you who came last week, we went into chapter 17 of Exodus for this topic. And we were able to take ourselves to the issues of the murmuring of Israelites, how they got to this particular place and they had no water to drink. This place was wilderness of sin, and they were journeying to Rephidim, and there was no water. So they begin to complain as usual. And then God was able to supply their needs at that time and provided water. I explained this one last week. Now, if you read just from verse 7, it said, "And he called the name of the place Massa and Meribah because of the chiding of the children of Israel and because they tempted the Lord, saying, is the Lord among us or not?" When God leads us in the leadership of God, God is ever present. It's a present help at the time of trouble. If God is leading you, if you are in the perfect will of God, there are two kinds of will that you can understand. One is perfect will of God. Another one is permissive will of God. If you desire to have something and you ask God, "God, if you can give me this," God could permit that and give it to you. But then you will stand with all the consequences. And I think I gave you that example. The good example was when Israelites demanded for a king, and they told Samuel that they wanted someone to lead them like other nations. And Samuel thought they had rejected him, but he went to God and God said, "Listen to them. They had not rejected you, but they had rejected me." And God told Samuel, "Tell them what will be the consequences of your request." He told them. They said, "Nay, give us the king." And Samuel listened and gave them Saul. Saul showed them Pepe. Did a lot of evil. The end was serious. You all know that. That is a very good example of permissive will of God. When you just desire something, knowing fully well that this is not the best thing for me, but you just desire it, God will give it to you because you want it. And that is why we should understand, it is not all that we want that we need. It's not all that you want that we need. And that's why as parents, we try as much as possible to educate our children, to explain to them that not everything you want me to give to you, I will give you, because not all that you want, you need. You have a year-old child or maybe a five-year-old child asking you he's asking for the key to your car to drive it. He or she doesn't need it at that time. You can give it out because the hand may be serious. And that's how we behave sometimes. We go to God. We ask God to give us, key to fly a plane when we cannot drive a car. God is not going to give it to you because God loves you. So it's not all that you want that you need. God will give you what you need. And not only what you need, He will give you what is well appropriate for you, and God will give it to you at the right time so there will be no regret. Then the perfect will of God is that thing that God had designed for your life, and you desire that thing and you have it. When you get that, whatever comes your way, whatever challenges that will come your way, God will be there with you. Amen. And so, it was the perfect will of God for Israelites to embark on this journey to the promised land. And sometimes Christians, we thought in our heart that if we are in the perfect will of God, we are not going to face any opposition. Depending on your destiny, depending on God's assignment for your life, depending on the hand that God had prepared for you, there will be challenges. There will be opposition. Enemy will be on your way. Immediately you receive the call from God, either to come into this life, either to receive call for an assignment, immediately you will face challenges. But God is going to be there with you, even in the midst of challenges. And this happened in this chapter 17. And God told Moses before that time, before the one I read, and said, the Lord said unto Moses, go on before the people and take with thee of the elders of Israel, verse 5, and thy rod, wherewith thou smotest the river, take in thy hand and go. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb. So God said, I will stand with thee there to do this miracle, to perform this miracle. So God is with you. All you have to do is to focus. Don't lose focus. If you're a businessman, you are in business, you lose focus. You are gone. You are driving and you keep attention to people around, waving hands to them. It's titanic. You cannot lose focus of in life. Whatever is coming your way, whatever you are facing in anything you do, you can lose focus. Because by the time you look back, something bad will have happened. So God was with him, and the miracle was performed. Water was given to the people. But these people, they asked this question in that 7. Is the Lord among us or not? I mean, this was not your plan to us, Moses. You said we are going to promised land, but you didn't tell us that it's going to be as hard as this. You didn't tell us it's going to be hard. If you had told us that it is hard, we will not embark on this journey. In fact, the first complaint of Israelite, if you get their first complaint, I think I have in Exodus chapter 14, from verse 11 to 12, they desire to go back. Because they didn't know that it's going to be like that. They didn't know the journey is going to be as hard as that. And that is why, hello, children of God, God will never, are you listening to me, give you the blueprint of your life. If God should give you the blueprint of your life, you will die before your time. Because you will wonder, God, is this what you want me to face? Some of you, if God will have given you the blueprint of what is going to happen to you in America, you will say, listen, American embassy, hold on your visa. This one, I'm here. This Nigeria, I did. It's okay. This Ghana, I come from. It's okay. God will give it to you. But when God is leading us, when God is directing us, whatever comes our way, the end will be victorious. God always assures victory. When God is in the, God will never embark on a business that will fail, because he's a perfect God. He's not going to embark on a business that will fail. No. No, he's not going to involve himself in such a business. And I tell you the truth, people in the world, they want to share with you when you are victorious. They want to share with you. I mean, yesterday, they were interviewing, there was a lady, one of those political analysts. And the lady was kind of trying to analyze the modus operandi of Barack Obama to Africans, or African leaders. Maybe Obama is going to change it, I don't know, but he had taken a part of saying that I will only relate with those of them that are serious. With those of them that can show that they can deliver. And that was why he went to Ghana rather than going to Nigeria or going to other nation or any other nation, because he said that the Ghanaian economy is on a path and that the political push of Ghanaians or Ghana is great, because they did an election, they handed over peacefully. So he said he's going to go with this one. And the lady said in MSNBC that some leaders in the past, some American president in the past, took the same modus operandi, the same style, and they failed. That you wouldn't say only that you have to die or relate with those leaders that have less corruption. Let me put it that way, because it's difficult to know which one is, even in this country. Leaders, some leaders here are corrupt. Hello? So it's not like the cancer of corruption, it's not limited to third world country. I don't even know if we have second world country, but as they said third world. We don't know why there is gap between the first world at the third world. So the cancer of, because if the cancer of, what do you call it, of corruption, you know, could identify which one, I think it will only stay in those countries, but it's also here. Are you listening to me? So, but the point is that people will like to rejoice with you when you are celebrating. Hello? They want to share victory with you. And that is the path he has taken. I'm not going to blame him. I'm just using that as an example. I'm not saying it's right or wrong. But I'm using that as an example to let you know that when you are victorious, people want to share that victory with you. So, when God is with you, victory is sure. And with God on your side, you will win the battle. And that is what is going to take us to the next chapter in this journey. From verse 8. These same people that ask query that is God with us? Is God with us in this journey? These same people got to verse 8. Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. Amalek came in to fight with them. And you see how this battle was fought and the part God took in this battle. Immediately Amalek faced Israelites on their journey to God. Are you listening to me? To God, Amalek was fighting against him, not against Israelites. Because Israelites, these people were on the perfect will of God. They had to journey to the promised land. It was God that was taking them. And that was what Apostle Paul explained in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Let me tell you, in the journey of your life, if you can desire to be in the perfect will of God, to do what God asks you to do, to be on the path of God, any battle that will face you is not your battle. It's God's battle. And God's going to fight for you. He will fight for you. Listen, he will fight and he will, the enemy, see, when you fight a battle for yourself, you can't deal with the enemy as you're supposed to deal with the enemy. But when God fights for you, God will disgrace your enemy. God will give the lifespan of that battle. Amalekites, let me put it that way. This thing that they did here, opposing God's destiny in the life of his chosen people. God said, I will fight with Amalekites from generations to generations. So when you are on the path of when you are in the perfect will of God, when God is leading you in life, anyone that will fight you, it's a curse. It's a curse to stand against God. You know, Christians, what you need to be sure of is that, is God with me in this journey? Is this God's perfect will for me? Is God leading me in this path? When you are sure of that, anything that will come your way, God will bulldoze it. God will bulldoze it. It's not going to be your battle. No. Because see, you can see everything. You have a naked eyes. We can see everything. But God sees even into the future. God sees deep into the future. Verse 9. And Moses said unto Joshua, Choose us out men, and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him, and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill, and it came to pass, when Moses held up his hand, that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. In life, there are two paths to our journey. Am I talking to you this morning? Or this afternoon? There are two parts to our journey. We have the spiritual part and we have the physical part. You need to cooperate with God. And you need to cooperate with the church too. As we are saying that we're going to have this prayer and fasting, it's very essential. It's important. Don't ignore it. Don't say, hey, Pastor, I'm not looking for work. Why should I come for prayer and fasting? Let those have problems. See, sometimes prayers, when you pray, it's like immunization. When we are young, they will say, go take shot for polio. Go take shot for chicken pox. Go take for chicken pox. Go take this for lion pox. Go take this for malaria. And you go take all these shots. Meningitis, all these kind of shots you take. Now, when you were asked to go and take it, at that time, it was not really mean that you had that problem. But you are preventing yourself against that problem, because prevention is better than cure. Prevention is cheaper than cure. Hello? I called my primary physician when I was trying to go to Nigeria. When I was first going, the first time after I was here a long time, I went to, they said, then the insurance told me, no, this is your business. Go to traveling something. So I went to traveling clinic. It cost me about $600. They gave me this, gave me that, take this one for malaria, take that. So you go, okay. I did it because they said it's the best thing to do. It's better than when you come back, you get mosquito bite, you go stay in the hospital for 3 days, you go do this. So when I was going the other time, I called my primary physician. I told my primary physician, listen, I'm going to so place. I'm not going to go to any travel hospital, anything. I want you to prescribe for me. Yeah, after all, if I come back, I'm sick. It's going to cost you money. If I come back, I'm sick, I'm in the hospital, who's going to pay? Insurance. So I told the primary physician, listen, give me these things. He said, but I said, I will come. Give me, because I'm preventing you people spending money. Go tell the insurance company. Say, no policy. I drag it with this primary physician. Lo and behold, I got these things. I got without going to whatever clinic. I explained to him, and I get it. Because I thought in my head that prevention is cheaper than cure. I told him, and he concurred. He asked me to come in. I came in. They gave me all these things with only the whatever they call insurance contribution. And that is it. See, prevention is cheaper than cure. When you are in the perfect will of God, there are two parts to our battle in life, or to the battle that is facing us. We have the spiritual part, and we have the physical part. The two of them we have to operate. The first time you came into this world, you have started a spiritual battle. Hello? Either you can see it or not. Either you are a woman or you are a man. You are fighting a battle. It's ongoing battle. It's ongoing what? And the only one who can assure you victory is God. So Moses told Joshua, go get people to go and fight the Amalekites. We are going to stay here to hold our hands. And holding hands means praying to God. And Aaron and Hur will help me to, because Moses was old. And when he was tired and the sun was coming down, then the Amalekite will prevail. And then Hur was standing this way, and Aaron was standing this way, and they helped Moses to lift up his arm. And as that was happening, then Joshua and the other army, the military people, were prevailing at the war front. The spiritual aspect. How did this go out? How can this be done if not by prayer and fasting? Because we wrestle not against flesh. We wrestle not against blood. We wrestle against principalities. We wrestle against powers. Principalities and powers. We wrestle against spiritual wickedness in high places. People are wicked in this life, brethren. People are wicked. You never know who is who. That's why you have to fight this battle. You have to allow God to take hold of this battle for you. The spiritual aspect, you cannot leave unattended. I told you of this law, the law of entropy. That anything you leave unattended, we break down, we disintegrate, we die. If you buy a new jet, brand new jet, and you fail to do all the check, all the maintenance, and everything is going to disintegrate, it's going to break down, and the breakdown of this may be Titanic. Anything you have, unattended. Look at this place. Look at this floor. When you came last week, was this floor like this? Whoever thought that this floor can come shiny like this? The pew we are sitting on, when they deal with that pew and bring it out, you say, is this the same pew? Anything you leave, and if you leave this unattended, it will rotten. Termite will come in and dwell.
mold will take over. But anything you attend to will last forever. If you want to try it, lock a house. Build a brand new house. Lock it. Don't let people go in and out. Lock everything. After a while, that house will collapse because you have left it unattended. The same thing about life. You cannot live your spiritual life unattended. You need to listen to God's word. You need to pray and fast. You need to fellowship together. You need to do all that. And then the physical will prosper. Look at what Apostle John said. He said, I wish above all things that thou might prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. The physical prosperity is a function of spiritual prosperity. Function of function. You know, those of you who study mathematics, you know what they call function of functions? In a little bit of this calculus. You don't get this solution, you cannot get that solution. Because it's a function of another function. When you get this one, you transfer the answer to this one. You miss it the first step. At the end of the day, you miss it all. And it will take you time. In that kind of mathematics, when you are calculating it from day one, from first time, you have to be very careful. Because time will not permit you, if you are in a salvation hall, to go back and start all over again. So every step, you want to take care of every step. Sometimes our life is also like that. Because time that you have spent is gone. You can't get it back again. Some of us say, oh, I will push it back. How long are you going to push it back? You are not going to be here permanent. This place is temporary. Take care of business, brethren. Hello? Live your life as if this is the last opportunity. If you have opportunity to do something, do it with all your strength. Especially when you are sure that God is leading you. Do it. There is gain in doing that. Two ways to fight our battle in life. The first one is hard blows. The second one is prayers. Hard blows and prayers. Hard blows. You pray and walk. If you are the one that believes that, see, this place is a very good place to explain to some people that are complacent. They believe they just have to pray and pray and pray and pray. And pray and pray and pray. When I was in college, I remember back home, a professor was teaching us. They used to call me pastor, pastor, pastor. I was not yet a pastor then, but it's a nickname they call me in the class. So he had pastor. So at the end of the day, this man started the discussion of SU discussion. He said one thing that will make him not to even try to do this SU stuff is that his nephew was in the university. I think maybe University of Ife. He said he has given his life to Jesus Christ. He was pursuing mercy. He said he cannot do mercy again because he's born again. Ah. So, yeah, in those days, people do that. Some people say, I can't do law because I'm born again. So we say, because there's evil in mercy. If you do mercy, you're going to kill somebody. I'll ask you, which one are you going to do that you won't kill somebody if you want to kill somebody? If you're an engineer, you can kill somebody, right? You design anyhow. You design anyhow. You design bridge. You put, or they ask you to construct. You use bad materials. People come there, die. Won't you kill somebody? You have to be a doctor before you kill somebody? Or you have to be a lawyer before you lie? No. No. Every job has its own ethics. So I was trying to explain to that man that that is not the case. These are the people that took it to the extreme. They are the people that took it to the extreme. Because you are born again doesn't mean you cannot be president of a country. It is true that there might be some other things, but if God wants to put you there without passing through or making those corner something, God can still do it. Is there anything too hard for God? There is no limitation for a Christian. So two ways. If you are the type that thinks that you just have to pray and pray and pray and pray, manna will be dropping from heaven. You will walk before you eat. You are deceiving yourself. Gone are the days. And if you are the type that thinks that you just have to walk, let me work hard, let me work hard, let me work hard. When I work hard, I will get the money. No, it's not of him that will it. No, of him that run it. It's of God that what? Sweat mercy. God can turn $1,000 to $100,000 if he's going to do it for you. Without sweat. Without just struggling. You got to balance it. Amen? Amen. And Moses did it here. He balanced it. While he was raising up his hand, Joshua was prevailing. And anytime he's tired and his hand drops, they were failing on the field. But God granted them victory.
God will grant you that victory in the mighty name of Jesus.
You know, let me tell you one fact about this journey that we embark upon in our God's leadership, in God's leadership in our lives. There are battles you are going to fight in your life, either you like it or not. You did not cause this battle. You did not start this battle. But you just find yourself, it's automatic. You find yourself in this battle because of who you are, because of your name. Hello? Maybe because of your family name. In the spiritual name, as this first day you have given your life to Jesus Christ, you are into a tough times. Hello? The first day you gave your life to Christ, you have started a battle. And the battle is that devil does not want you to get there. So, you are going to fight, and you are going to fight, you are going to fight. Since the time of the John Baptist, the kingdom of heaven suffered what? Violence. You get to be violent or take it by what? Force. By force. That's a battle. In the physical realm, the same thing. In the physical realm. There's some, what they call, intercessory curse. That's what they call ancestral curse. There's some family curses that can resident on your life except you run to the Lord. Are you listening to me? Except you run to the Lord, it will resident on your life just because of the fact that you bear that name, or just of the fact that that woman gave birth to you, or that you are from that man. You have to fight it out. Don't deceive yourself. Nobody's going to fight that battle for you. I was not there when you were making this covenant. Hello? I was not there. And so it's you that will break that covenant. It's you that will fight that battle. You have to stand in the gap. If you are in your family, if you are the one that has given your life to Jesus Christ, you are the pastor of that family. Stand in the gap. Do like Moses. Do like Aaron or Hur. Raise up the hand. Let the hand go up to God. Pray to God to break that yoke. And listen to me, that yoke must be broken because of the anointing in your life. You are not ordinary. So there's some battle you have to fight, either you like it or not, either you sleep. Listen, they used to tell us when we are young, there's an assignment for you. Maybe they have to go and wash these clothes for me. You put everything, you pack everything, you go and sleep, and sleep, and sleep. Listen, that is your assignment. In fact, if you see siblings, the way they do things, siblings, if you say you are the one to wash plates, you are the one to clean the floor, you are the one to do this, and then you leave your own washing of plates, you go and sleep, you think angel will come back and watch it for you. No, it will be piling up and up and up and up. Your sister or your brother will tell you, it's your assignment this week. Go wash your plate. There's some battle that you have to do it. You leave it, you go sleep. When you wake up, you're going to do what? You meet it there. Two battles. The spiritual, the physical. No matter what, even when God is leading you, you face it. I was thinking in my heart, Israelites were in the will of God, right? It was God that told them to move. And I told you that God was leading them. Apostle Paul explained this in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. They were under the cloud. God was leading them. Hello? And then God led them to go and fight a battle. Led them to face the enemies. The enemy was not even afraid. Amalekites, they heard of what God did to take Israel to the Red Sea. They heard of what happened to Egyptians because of the Israelites. Yes, they dear God. Hey, listen, because you said I'm a Christian, they heard you say it. That does not mean they are not going to try you. They will dare the plan of God for your life. They will dare the strength of God in your life. They will dare whatever you call your confession of Christ. They will dare it. They will try you. Don't think that because I'm praying, you tell people. Some people, you know, they will tell everybody, I'm fasting now. Maybe to scare the enemy. I'm fasting. Do you fast in your own church? I just finished 21 days. I'm going to start another 40 days. Your own pastor, did your pastor fast with you? Well, I'm fasting. I'm fasting. If you see me, I went into the door with my pastor. You think when they hear that, they will scare them? Oh. They will see trial. Apostle Paul said, these things were written because of us. Those of us that are in the end time. You want us to read it? That First Corinthians chapter. You remember when it was read? These things were written. These things happened. Listen, what happened here happened because of us. First Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1 to 6, explain it. Go to verse 11, it explain it. These things were written down for us. They happened for us. So that those of us that will be at the end of the age, you will see and you'll be able to prepare so you can win the battle. You win it hard and win it big. Enemies. In the journey, you see, because Apostle Paul said these things happen because of us. When you read this case that happened to Israelite here, you will discover that even with all these things, now there is what we call, there are four patterns in God's leadership in this journey for Israelites. Four patterns that we see throughout this journey. Throughout, there will be four patterns throughout this journey. The first is there will be journey. People will journey. People will move. Amen. People will move. There will be journey. And they were moving. The journey. They were moving. They started from Egypt. They moved out. They were moving in the journey. The second pattern of the Israelites' journey or God's leadership in this journey was murmur. They always murmur. Any small thing, they will complain. Any small thing, they will complain. And when people murmur, I put down here, it means they don't trust God. Distrust in God's providence, in God's provisions. When you murmur or you complain, it means that you think God is not sufficient and that you have to look somewhere else for help. That was the lifestyle of Israelites. And another pattern in this journey, there are four patterns. Don't forget, the first one is the journey. The second one is they always murmur, they complain. The next one, the third one, is intercession. Moses always intercede for them. Moses always talked to God for them. In our journey in life, in the leadership of God in our lives, all these patterns may be there. There's nothing wrong to talk to God, but don't let us complain. It is for a natural man to tend to complain instead of trying to dialogue. Now, you have to control yourself, control your emotions. Don't complain, dialogue. Talk it out. Explain things. Don't complain. And then the last one in this pattern is deliverance by God. God always delivered them when there was an intersection. God always delivered them. You see, in this pattern, you never see where God judged them as they continue now, right? God did not judge them. He always come there and do it. God always come there and do it. But the consequences of their actions will bring judgment. Hello? Are you with me? So, brethren, as we journey in life, as we see things in life, as things happen in life, let us be sure that we allow God's leadership in our lives. Let us be sure that God is with us. Let us be sure that God is leading us and is helping us. As we step out, I have something that Napoleon said. Napoleon always believed in his guard, in his military. And each time they go, this is what Napoleon always say. They go, I will quote it, they go now, the victory is sure. They go now. What Napoleon, his attitude to life is that if I can gather my military together, if I can gather my guards together, if I can gather them together, if I can make them to embark on this journey, now they go, victory is sure. Listen, a journey of 1,000 years, we take the first step. The first step is, let's take that first step. Let's keep looking unto God. A journey of 1 week, we take the first step, right? And have it in your mind that victory is sure. Now that I'm going, now that God is with me, victory is what? Sure. No matter what you face. Because you're going to face all these things. Israelites, they face all these things. They fought this battle. But God was with them. God fought it with them. God helped them out.
I want to read the rest so we can pray and go. And it came to pass, when Moses held up his hand, that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side, and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. The hands were steady. When we read the Bible, sometimes we have something that God wants to speak to us through the reading of the Bible. In serving the Lord, we have to be steady. Amen? If you want to get the victory, if you want to be victorious, you must be consistent. You must be steady. You must be definite. Don't do a little bit here, a little bit there, or, you know, kind of trying to, you know, dribble people. Today you are cold, tomorrow you are hot. You are neither look, I mean, you are neither hot nor cold. We don't know where you are. When you say good morning, maybe it's evening. When you say good night, you look at it, it's morning. That kind of life is not God, what God intended for any of us. God intended that we should be steady, being who you are. Don't even copy people. They that compare themselves with themselves are not wise. Every situation in our lives requires a special attention, or require a definite attention for that situation. At this particular situation, Moses will not go to the battle. He sent Joshua with the army to go. And then he was behind, and he was lifting up his hand, and he was praying. He was praying with Aaron and Hur. They were helping. When you agree together, when you cooperate together with God, when you work together, you will accomplish more than when you are alone. Are you listening to me? When you cooperate with your husband, when you cooperate with your wife, this one I'm telling you now, don't accuse me when I live here. When there is cooperation in the family, you achieve more. I can tell you that's a practical thing. My wife and I, we agree easily. I don't look at her because she's a woman. Sometimes she will give me a very good advice that I will say, wow. Some men, when their wife is talking, you're a woman. What are you going to tell me? As if women don't have sense. They get sense. Sometimes they are like a computer. Anything you pass inside, you get the result outside. You pass garbage in, you get garbage out. But you pass good stuff at the end of the day. It's not good for a man to be alone. That is the word of God. And some women, the same thing. When their husband is talking, they will go outside and get advice outside. Rather than listening to the advice of their husband. My friend, who told you it's your friend? It's my friend. My friend said that's what I must do. My friend said that is what I must do. Now, when you do that thing, I tell you the truth. If anything happens, the first friend that will run away, that's your friend. You say, I didn't tell you to do that. Oh, that's not the way I told you. I didn't tell you that way now. Even when you know they think. Even if I has to do it, nobody you go think. He will always give the blame back to you. When you agree, when children agree with their parents, they achieve more. Are you listening to me? When citizens of a nation agree with their nation, they achieve more. Let's work together. Anywhere you find yourself, work in a team. If you're in the office, you agree together, you achieve more. In my office, when they send you out to go and do something, when they come back to report about you, they stand with you. You know, several people complain about government, especially in this nation, when a policeman shot somebody and killed somebody, citizens think that city of Chicago will just come and say, you policeman, you killed that person, we're going to kill you right now. No! They will stand with him. Hello? They will stand with him. Even though they can say professional regulation or something is going to see the case, they will stand with that police. In fact, they will never mention the name of that police officer on the screen. You just be hearing police officer kill somebody. Two police officers shot somebody. What is his name? How does he look? They will not tell you.
because they must work together.
So, are we there today? Am I saying something? Am I okay here? What about you there?
See, it is for you. Hey, listen to me. Anything pastor should tell you, anything pastor should tell you on the altar here is for you. It's for your benefit, brethren. Do it. It's for your benefit. You see, sometimes some of us, we think that the pastor should be saying all the time sweet things. If I continue to tell you sweet things, that is not reality of life. Israelites here on this journey, they embark upon, they face reality of life. In reality of life, sometimes you'll be in need. Sometimes you will face battles. Sometimes there will be issues that will make you to complain. Come on, put up this air conditioner. It seems as if we are wasting money because people are feeling cold, right? Somebody should help us. It's work, yeah, but it's too much. People, I see people doing like this. Okay, anyway, let's leave it there. We'll do that now. Do you know that people don't want to face reality in life? There are people, when you talk to them, you are telling them reality, you will become their enemies. Number one enemy. Because you are telling them too much reality. Reality of life, you are here to fight battle. This is not where you have to resident and relax and sleep and allow devil to use your head to beat drums. Don't allow devil to do that. Be on your toes. In the war front. Ha. You think war front, they always go shower? When they shower finish, they go sleep like that. They leave all the doors open, every military people sleeping together, all the military men, they all sleeping. No! War front is like anything can happen anytime. All of them could be killed anytime. Anything can happen. Their expectation, anything can occur. The same thing, reality of life, we are here to fight battle and anything can happen. We are always here and we always do everything by grace. Anything can happen. Anyone can die anytime. People don't want to listen to somebody who's going to die. They don't want to hear it. Do you know that in most churches, they don't allow dead body to, they don't allow people to bring dead body inside. Hello? How about you know that? When somebody died, to come and do service inside the church. Some churches, no. We don't want living people to come in. No. Even if it is somebody they've been well fellowshipping with, they've been talking to, as soon as the person is dead, take that person to funeral home. Don't bring dead body inside the church. They don't want to face the reality that they have to die. Ah, Pastor, why are you talking about death all the time? When you preach, talk about life. But the reality is that you're going to live here one day. Are you hearing this? Listen to me. And the reality is that only God knows when. The reality is that anything could happen anytime. The reality is that one can fail and one can win. The reality is that when you are with God, victory is sure. But when that victory will come, we don't know. So Israelite, in this leadership of God, under this journey, they face real reality of life. Miracle today, challenges tomorrow, victory tomorrow, killing day after, complain today, need this tomorrow, God supply this, next time they have this, next time, 4 needs they face before they get to this place. 4 needs. First, they got the bitter water turned to sweet water. Again, the manna to eat from this. They don't have food to eat. Again, they don't have water. Again, they got to this place. Again, they face enemy. Even when they just finish not having water, the next thing is that Amalek said, you are not going to pass. I will not get you. I will not allow you to get your destiny. But when God plans this for you, with all these things that you face, you will get your destiny in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. You know, I have something here. It says here, I put something that I want to tell you. God made you for an end. Tell somebody. Find out your end. God made you for an end. God made you for a purpose. Now it's you that will find it out. Israelites were not able to really get it right. They did. They had it. It was told them that they're going to get to this place, but they didn't get it. That this end that God made them for, they have to find it out. They have to fight for it. They have to hold it. They have to confess it. They have to believe. They have to accept it. They keep saying that they're not going to get there. They keep saying that they're not going to believe it. They keep murmuring. They keep complaining. And Paul said they perish because of all these complaints. Victory is yours in Jesus' name.
Amen.
And finally, I want to read what God told Amalekites. And the Lord said unto Moses, verse 14, write this for a memorial in a book. And he has it in the ears of Joshua. For I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. Some people, when they go cause some problems, and the repercussions are happening to them, no matter what you pray, they must dance the music. Just be very careful what you say, whom you fight. Some people just fight. Somebody's going to fight you. We suffer. If you can stand with God, if you can believe God, anybody's going to fight you. We do what? We suffer. Anyone's going to fight you? We put himself or herself in trouble. Don't worry yourself. Don't worry what the enemy can do for you. As long as you get yourself settled with God and you allow God to lead you and you are in the leadership of God, anybody who tends to stop your destiny will suffer. It's no matter that if I'm praying it, your children, anyone who tends to stop the destiny of your children is going to fight God.
Amen.
And you can fight God and win. I tell people, you cannot stop me. I'm saying it here. I don't know who and who is here. I don't know who and who is in this place. But I'm saying it. You can't stop me. I will continue to preach this gospel. Because my hand is to preach the word. And I will preach the word. I will tell you the truth. I will say the truth. I will not adulterate it. I will make it plain raw. And I tell you the truth. You will not stop me. If you go gather in the ears, I know that there are some spiritual wickedness. Spiritual wickedness in high places. People that can cut somebody's leg when the leg is physically there, but it's gone already. I know them. People that can turn somebody's brain upside down and make your life miserable. There are people that will not kill you. You know, some people, when they are merciful, they kill people boom like that. But when they are wicked, they say, let him die little by little. Hey, hello? Let him do what? Let him die disgracefully. First, bring him down from the pinnacle of glory. First, bring him down. Take all the money from him. After they there is what we call spiritual wickedness in high places. After they will take all the money from him, they will turn him to a miserable person that if you see him, you will curse the day he was born. That is not going to be a portion in Jesus' name. People are wicked in this life, I tell you. But when you are with God, no one can be against you. And God said here, and Moses built an altar and called the name of the place, of that place, Jehovah Nissi. For he said, because the Lord had sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. Then we fail me to tell you, we will get there maybe as we study our Bible, how this God's conversion was affecting Amalek or the Amalekites. In Judges, in so many instances. Look, the time of Ehud, the time of Barak, Gideon, David even fought against Amalekites. Then during the day of Hezekiah, they got problem. Amalekites, they were in trouble because they want to stand against God's destiny for his people. Anyone want to stand against God's destiny for you is in trouble.
Yeah.
Are you listening to me now? I want you to gather yourself and attend this 21 days prayer and fasting. It's in trouble. Anyone that says that you will not get what God has planned for you is in trouble.
Yeah.
It's in trouble. Because you cannot stop God. If you can stop sun from shining, if you can stop moon from doing his job, if you can stop stars from doing whatever they want to do, then that's when you can stop God. Let me tell you, all the astronauts and all those people that have been going to the space, how many stars did they bring for us to see? Can they get there? Can they get there? No! When we talk about God, we are not talking about one small power. The power that be today and is no longer tomorrow. No, we're not talking of that kind of power. I was asking my wife this morning, I said, where is Kondo? Kondo is her eyes. When she was Secretary of State, I love to see her. Good stature. Very, very confident of herself. When she speaks with authority. But today, who's there? Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton, and also anywhere she goes. Oh my God. Those powers, can they be permanent? Somebody was telling me, I told you on Wednesday, I was in a gym on Tuesday morning, and somebody was talking to me, and he was trying to say that he likes the way Obama traveled to Africa, or traveled out. The one he went to France, went to all these places, or Italy, all these places. He said he went with all his family. He said he arranged the vacation to be during summer. He went with all his wife. I said, he said, do you know Air Force One? That when he's flying out like that, that there are jets that are ready. If anything that will come, they catch it like that. I say, hey, I love it. But how can I get there? The man said, it's hard work. That the man work hard. And first and foremost, I'm not qualified to get there. Because I'm not a United States citizen. Even if you're a naturalized citizen, you are not qualified to get there, right? That is the law. But the man is there now. He said when he's... He said before the man will go, they will first send limousine. Or all what is going to use, they will first ship that into any nation is going. All the cars going to this, they said we first go there and get ready. And truly speaking, I was really watching the news when he went to Ghana. As soon as Obama was coming out of the car, I saw those people, they were looking like this, were moving like this, they were looking like this, I said, oh my God, human being like me, right? But it is not forever, right? It's not permanent. Another 4 years, if you can win another election, you'll be there. But the maximum 8 years, then another one will come. Who knows who will come? But this God we are talking about is there forever and ever. Before George Washington ran to Bill Clinton, come to Obama, this God is there forever and ever. We don't vote him there. We cannot vote him out. We don't know his beginning. We cannot know his end. He can do all things. He is all in all. And that is whom we are talking about. When he said, when I go to Pharaoh, whom would